Blog Talk Radio. You are an awesome wonder. Glory to the God of our life, the keeper of our soul, the redeemer, our comforter. We praise and we worship God, and we surrender to his awesome hand and power over our life. Welcome to Words from the Word. I'm your host, Overseer Paulette, rejoicing in the Lord as we join together in our Friday Fellowship of Learners and journey through the 18 principles of spiritual growth as put forth in the green letters by Miles J. Stanford. We are coming to a close of the 18. We're on number 17. These are basic principles that when we look at them, we are always reminded of them. We are aware of them. But we're practicing and instituting them in a way now like never before. For he has opened our eyes of our understanding, that we understand the hope of our calling is in bowing down to his awesome wonder, surrendering all to him, understanding his commitment to us, to the covenant of love he has with us, and allowing him to have his way, and that we decrease as he increases. The theme the author uses is not I, but Christ. And that not I often takes a lifetime to crucify. And we thank him, for he is faithful to us in this process, because he initiates it and puts the desire in our heart for it to happen. Then he gives us all that we have need of to bring it to pass, to guarantee we will be perfected through his hand on our life. So we surrender to his awesome, awesome power. We are looking at promises, because these promises are the things that we hold on to and reckon to be true and allow them to transform our thinking. So we are going through the Bible, putting our promises from each one of the books of the Bible, and this week the book is the book of, it's not Matthew, it's Joshua from the Old Testament and Romans from the New Testament. So anybody on the line would like to share the promise they gleaned out of one of those books? Good morning, good morning, good morning.
Good morning.
You can take your phone. Good morning. You can take your phone off mute and dialogue with us this morning.
Hello?
Yes. Yes, good morning.
Good morning. Yes, mine's Romans. And we know that all things work together for the good of those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose, and that is Romans 9:25.
Amen. Amen.
All of them.
Well, this is my second time being with you all, and my sister told me Deuteronomy is an X, so she didn't give me Romans.
Not a problem.
I have Deuteronomy 30:6, and it says, "And the Lord thy God will circumcise thy heart and the heart of thy seed to the love the to love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul, that thou mayest live." And that's Deuteronomy 30:6.
Amen. Amen.
And
anyone
the one
else?
I guess.
Okay. Go ahead. No, go ahead.
Acts 1:8. I've got But ye shall receive power after the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and ye shall be witness unto me both in Jerusalem and all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost parts of the earth.
Amen. Anyone else? Powerful promises to transform our thinking and cultivate our heart.
Minister Paulette. I don't know. That's what I wrote down, but I apologize. Anyway, man,
oh, that's okay.
Me. Three. Excuse me. I gotta get my ass together here. Deuteronomy. Wait a minute. Did I write it down right? Wait, I think I wrote down wrong. Give me a minute. Deuteronomy 33:27. Can I get my eyes together? I'm gonna start at 28. There is no one like the God of Jeshurun, who rides the heavens to help you, and in his excellency on the clouds. 27. The eternal God is your refuge, and underneath are the everlasting arms. He will thrust out the enemy from before you and will say, destroy. Acts. My eyes is just too long. Which one was it? I'm sorry, I had wrote it down and I missed my own.
Okay.
My goodness.
Well, while you're finding yours, I will give mine out of Romans 5:21-24. It says, but now God has shown us a different way to heaven, not by being good enough and trying to keep his law, but by a new way, though not new really, for the scriptures told about it long ago. How God says he will accept and acquit us, declare us not guilty, if we trust Jesus Christ to take away our sins, and we all can be saved in the same way by coming to Christ, no matter who we are or what we have been like. Yes, all have sinned. All fall short of God's glorious idea. Yet now God declares us not guilty of offending him if we trust Jesus Christ, who in his kindness freely takes away our sins. And that's out of the TLB version of the Bible. Sometimes I like to hear it out of another version, especially those things that we have said over and over again. And then I think the other one is Joshua. Should have marked it, didn't I? Yep, it is. And it is Joshua 1:9. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and of good courage. Do not be afraid, nor be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. Hallelujah. Did you find
Amen.
That, Elder?
Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am, I did. Acts 2:38-39. Then Peter said to them, "Repent, and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit." 39, for the promise is to you and to your children and to all who are afar off, as many as the Lord our God will call.
Amen. Amen. So we had two today.
Good morning, Overseer.
Good morning. Good morning, Elder. Yes.
I just wanted to share, I didn't really look at one from Romans, although that Romans 9:25 resonates well. That was read earlier, but mine was Joshua 1:8 that says, "This book of law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall read and meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do everything in accordance with all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will be successful." And then, of course, what you said, that was the Amplified, which says, "Have I not commanded you?
Yes.
Be strong and courageous. Do not be terrified or dismayed, intimidated, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go."
Yes, glory to God. Hallelujah. Anybody else? I just want us to renew the promises in our hearts, because they are powerful weapons against our flesh. And that's how we crucify our flesh, is with the Word of God, with the truth of His promises, trusting Him. So anybody else? I don't want to leave anybody out. Okay.
And overseeing,
yes. I just want to just say that scripture that I read was from Romans 8:28. Oh, amen. Thank you. Thank you. Amen. And so we our focus has been on this journey to spiritual maturity, this journey to spiritual growth and development that gives us a life that's enriched with kingdom power, kingdom principles lived out in the flesh, because they become who we are. It's not something we're trying to do. It is something that the Lord has created in us. He said, "I will pour my love in your heart." All of His promises indicate He is going to do this work that is going to bring us to a place of perfection. And there's no good thing in the flesh. So what He's bringing to perfection is our spirit man, that which is eternal concerning us. And we have to have a God's eye view. And so He shares with us in this 17th step, cultivation. And I got so excited about it because I saw it in the last four books that we have examined. It was in A Gardener's Look at the Fruit of the Spirit. It was in The Shepherd's Look at the 23rd Psalm. It was in Abide in Christ. And each time it is sharing with us, it is exposing us to, it is reminding us of God's responsibility that He has assumed in our process. Cultivation means you're going to take something and prepare it to bring forth something. And so if we look at it that way, we realize that even in Gardener's Look at the 23rd of the Fruit of the Spirit, the preparation, cultivation started with the heart condition, where the seed fell, order for it to take root, we learned that there were certain things that had to be removed from the soil, and the soil indicating our hearts. And so we see that there were steps and a journey that we went through as the Master cleared our ground of our heart, with beaten down with opinions and well-trodden with people's words and ideologies and things that we have heard from infants and packed and to a point we're not open to the truth as the seeds of truth fell in our hearts, or the ground that had the worry and was just full of weeds and that was choking out the truth because of our concerns with the things of this world. And then the ones that had the stone, rocky, just the bits and pieces and things that kept the soil from clinging to the roots so that the truth could spring from us. And then we looked at the 23rd Psalm. The entire 23rd Psalm was the commitment of the shepherd preparing the sheep, cultivating them from the frightened, unproductive, destructive nature that they normally had, and bringing them to a place of peace, quiet, and trust, bringing them to a place of they were more socially involved with one another in a kind way after the hand of the shepherd led them on their journey. All of the things that naturally attacked them was kept from them, was removed off of them, was countered by the things that the shepherd did to the sheep, until the sheep got to the place where they trusted even the very voice of the shepherd, and it totally transformed their nature. They were no longer frightened. They were no longer skittish. They were no longer bullying of one another. They were no longer waddling in things that they grabbed of their wool, grabbed along the way and encumbered them, kept them from walking, caused them to turn over. So all of those things were cultivated in their lives to a place where they became the satisfied sheep that did not want for anything. They had peace. And then we looked at the gardener, looked at the, actually looked at the abide in Christ. When I pulled the chapter out to remind me every moment, it says, every moment in the scripture was, in that day sing ye unto her a vineyard of red wine. I, the Lord, do keep it. I will water it every moment, lest any hurt it. I will keep it day and night. And that's the picture of the husbandman, always having us in his hands, inspecting, looking, pruning what needs to be pruned, and cleaning and establishing through Holy Spirit the connection with his Holy Son, so that that which is in the Son will flow into our life. And then we would then have the life that has been cultivated to produce the fruit that the world will need. And this fruit was for the world. So what a thing the author brings to our lesson today is the fact that we, he says that, you know, we're not just saved. It's twofold. You know, we are saved, he says, for a reason, For okay, it says it's not. It's twofold, growing and sharing. It is for us, and it's for others. We're saved so that we are free from the wrath and the penalty of sin, but also for others, not just us. And this cultivation is necessary before we truly can serve Him by serving others. And so the cultivation is happening to establish in us a spirit that's different from the one we have when we first believe. And this is Him working into us, pouring His love into us, and His love transforms everything. His promises are the things that are necessary for this transformation, which is why it is crucial that we establish our spiritual journey on the Word of God. This is why we need to know what are my promises, so that when life happens, I don't have to trust what I've heard someone else say, but I can reckon the Word of God to be true and God to be faithful, and knowing who He is and the power He has, and then trusting and depending on Him to transform the way I respond to life, because He has cultivated in me a spirit of the kingdom. He has cultivated, my spirit has responded to Holy Spirit as Holy Spirit does His ministry. It says, since the work of God is essentially spiritual, it demands spiritual people for its doing, and the measure of their spirituality will determine the measure of their value to the Lord. Because of this, though, in God's mind, the servant is more than the work. If you are going to come truly into the hands of God for His purpose, then we shall be dealt with by Him in such a way as to continually increase our spiritual measure, not our interest in Christian work or energies, and he goes on to say, but simply our spiritual life is the basis of the beginning and the growth of our service to God. Even the work, when we are in it, is used by Him to increase our spiritual measure. Because we all know that as we work, and I love it because he says we are to be happy and then work, not work to get happy. And what we're happy in is that blessed is the one, you know, those that hunger and thirst, blessed are the poor in heart. We're blessed and we're happy, and because of that, we are reminded of the journey and His faithfulness. And as we remember His faithfulness, as we're reminded of His power, as we come to see the manifestation of this transformation, and we don't often see it until we are in action. And then that's when we realize we don't respond and we don't act the way we used to, and we're more empowered to act based on the virtues of the fruit of the Spirit, and not sometimes or in some environments, but it has become who we are, and it is what naturally flows from us, because the husbandman has tended to our spiritual growth and development. He has cultivated in us this spiritual maturity so that we are then able to cultivate others. And so until we do, it's not that we don't do work, but the work we do is to, because as you work with individuals, whether saved or unsaved, they always take you to your limit, your own personal limit. They are demanding, sometimes arrogant, sometimes ungrateful. They're sometimes just heavy and beyond what we can handle. And it's at those times that the promises kick in. We remember what God said, and then we view the situation from a God's eye view, and that crucifies our flesh. Crucifixion takes time. It's not something you don't just jump on the cross and bam, you know, Christ was dead. He suffered, and it took time for that process of crucifixion to happen. And it takes time with us. It takes time as we experience the journey amongst those that God brings in our life. And as that happens, little by little, day by day, moment by moment, I think our abide in Christ even said, it's moment by moment, our victories in Christ. Yes, ma'am.
Trusting. He's putting trust in us. That's trusting.
Yes.
Teaching us trust.
Yes.
Trusting.
Absolutely.
Beyond measure.
And yet trusting beyond measure. And when we get there, then there's going to be other areas that we have to, he will cultivate so that we will trust him beyond measures in that area. Because there were some things that we immediately trusted him for. There are other things that has taken years, It took, the author mentions, it took Moses actually 80 years to get to a place where he was usable by God. He always had the destiny and purpose on his life, and he went about it the way his flesh would have shown him to go about it. And it may have been motivated by the right thing, but because his heart hadn't been cultivated and his life had not been cultivated by God to understand God's way and to him to be to decrease, to allow God to increase, then because he was trying to free them by his own might and his own passion and his own eagerness to love the Lord and to serve the Lord. So the reasoning was awesome. The same way with Peter. Because of his passion and love for Christ, he struck out with his sword on the soldiers that were going to take him. It was passionate, and it was a loving thing, but it was done through the flesh, and God doesn't function that way. And so often that's what we do. We actually lunge out through our own understanding, which is why, you know, we lean not to understand it, but in all our ways we have to acknowledge him, and he'll direct our path. And then that takes on such a different meaning as we grow spiritually. We understand truly the depths of that scripture. And so with all of these awesome men of God and women of God in scripture, they had to wait to be cultivated in the things of the kingdom, in the way of God, ways of God, so that they could be decreased and God would increase, so that then their natural response would become one of humility, one of repentance, not just for themselves, but for mankind, because mankind has sinned against a holy God. And so because of our love for God, he says, if you love me, feed my sheep. And he said it to Peter three times. And he was sharing with Peter, you have to love them the way I love you and the way I love them, no matter what they do, no matter who they are, no matter where they are, and no matter how long it takes, you have to love them the way I love you. So if you love me, if you've experienced me, if you found me to be trustworthy and my promises to be true and everything that I said to you, you believe, then as you love me, I think one of the teachers this week saying that the greatest he related obeying with, I won't say love, but that's the scripture. If you love me, you know, if you love me, you obey me. But faith, that's what he was saying. Faith is the precursor to obedience. And it's what our faith, and that's one of the elements that we looked at, is faith in the words of the promises, in the faith facts that are in the Word of God, not just saying them, but obeying them, and then allowing them, it says, to look and to learn, and then allow it to transform our thinking, not just doing it as a ritual, but rather realizing the spirit of it, the spirit of God that's in it, and trusting him to strengthen you. And so as we are strengthened spiritually, it is not us, but it is Christ who is living in us that we are allowing to live life through us so that others, and that's one of the things it said, even when it was talking about, the author was talking about prayer and intercessor and the fact that we have to have an understanding of the triune, the whole purpose of this prayer, the whole purpose of intercession, the whole purpose is to understand that it's for others. It is for others. And unless we can love and understand, I think he says, more than the service of prayer for others necessitates a triune understanding, understanding of our Father, ourselves, and of others. Praying for others can only flow from a heart at rest about itself and knowing the value of the desires which it expresses for others. I could not be true or happy in praying otherwise, is the quote of the stony person. And so it teaches us that our life as Christians, our journey with Jesus has to be motivated and fueled by our love for him, but our love for others as well. Very much so, one of the commandments that Jesus leaves to us. And so often, if we do not allow time and God to cultivate us spiritually and to strengthen our spiritual man, I think the author brings out a wonderful point near the end of the session, the fact that we often get impatient with other people once he's cultivated us and we've received these awesome truths and the eyes of our understanding has been enlightened and our spirit man has been strengthened and Christ is living through us. And we tend to forget some of the fruit of the spirit of patience and long-suffering and gentleness and kindness and love and temperance for other people, you know, and we'll labor for a while and not understand why can't they see how good God is and why can't they obey what is they're told, why don't they learn the lesson, and why is it you've been in the Word of God and this isn't clear to you yet, and yada, yada, yada. And we forget what it was like for us. And even though it happens so smoothly and so easily because we're really not doing it, God does it. And then when you look around, you realize, wow, you know, I have changed. That isn't what I would normally say. He's already made the transformation in us, and others have seen it, and then sometimes we're the last to notice it, but we want to see it almost instantly in other people. We figure we labored and gave this wonderful sermon. You know, you got to hear a sermon and teaching and all of this meat of the word, and still you act like babes because still they are babes. It took Moses 80 years. And so when we realize that these are realities that we often stumble in, and we cause others to stumble, even trying to share aggressively or persistently in an area that maybe all we were to do was to plant the seed and move on, say the word and move on. Someone else would water it and cultivate the ground so that the ground could take the roots, so that the ground could hold the plant. And we often lose patience or in laborious ministries, we get bitter or burnt out, bitter or burnt out because the people, you know, and yet those are the people that thronged after Christ as he walked through his journey on earth. And they pressed because they knew he had it. They just didn't understand it, but they knew their answer lied in him. And it needed a planting, a passion, but it also needed someone who would patiently disciple them, patiently walk with them, and give them that which they had received. So the cultivator is able then to cultivate and to not be, I won't say microwavable in our mentality, but as they say, you know, hunker down for the long haul, because however long it says, you know, how long am I supposed to forgive them? You know, how long do we do this? And the word says, until, and not to get weary in the doing, and then not to walk ahead of God, but walk humbly with him, so that we are not trying to direct God on how we think the people should grow. So we are really reminded of the mindset that we need to embrace and then flow from when we are connected with different individuals doing in different ministries, whether they're our family members. You know, you could say, well, you know what, you know, you was raised in a house and you should know better, da 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 da. And yet it still takes time. It takes cultivation. And the promises today of two or three of them, they concerned our generation. So the promise God has made. So our job is to praise God's promises and let them see us praising God. Maybe not necessarily pushing or trying to give them the meat that we have when they can't digest it. But we can trust that God has promised to do it. And then we can just love them. Just love them with the love of Christ, not embracing their ignorance, but loving their spirit and letting them know, just as Christ loved us. And so it brings us to a place of humility. It brings us to a place of rest where we're at rest with what's in us because God has created it. And as Christ said, you know, take my yoke upon me and learn of me. And you'll find rest for your soul. You know, you can rest here, and in rest we get the joy that then brings work, brings us to a desire to work, and even the ability to be used in the service of the Lord. And so the author brings out several points. I love it when he says that, what is this? I made notes and then I can't read them. Okay. Your fruit and the heart inspection. And so we have to be careful that it is God's inspection that we are relying on and not our own, us comparing ourselves to others rather than allowing the Lord to examine us according to his word. But that he is a certain, it is not merely what a man does, certain things or speaks certain words, but that he is a certain kind of man. He himself is what he preaches. Too many want to preach without being the thing themselves. But in the long run, it is what you are and not simply what you do or say that matters to God, not to man, but that matters to God. It says, and the difference lies in the formation of Christ within us. Okay, so what points stuck out for you in the lesson? I have a lot of, but I'll let you go.
Overseer?
Yes.
Yes, I just wanted to share, when I was reading this, I thought it was a very, very practical chapter. And at the very beginning, in the first sentence, where it talks about the importance of balance, and it says mechanical, physical, aesthetic, and in the spiritual realms. But if there's not that balance, that it can cause disintegration and possible devastation to the surrounding areas. And then after that, with the little poem and everything. But when he goes on to say that the job of the husbandman and the beginning of God's cultivating process within us happens patiently, persistently, and painfully, and cultivating those things that could be out of balance, whatever's going on with us mechanically and physically and aesthetically and spiritually, that he is working and cultivating in us through whatever is brought to us, our tests, our trials, our temptations, but he's doing it patiently, persistently, and painfully. And I think we don't want to have anything that is persistent in a nagging type of situation.
Mm-hmm.
And we certainly don't want anything that is that is painful. So I think a lot of times we avoid, or we are indifferent, or to things that come into our life. Like we just refuse. We just we're gonna just refuse to deal with that, which means we never give God an opportunity to work through that, because we don't want this persistent and painful situation and his patience. So that, I'm still here waiting on you to, to go in the direction in which my spirit is leading you. That sometimes sometimes we'll say it's our conscience or whatever, but it will drive people in a different direction, because the feeling kind of that it's overbearing or overwhelming. But this is the way that he matures us. And the fact that he goes on, I thought it was very interesting where he talks about it, and I think you read this, our spiritual measure and our value to him is who we are spiritually, and that is honed and developed through going through the fire. It is the process, and there are ways that we judge how well we're doing in the process, which gives us, what is our fruit looking like? What is, are we able to take more than we could 5 years ago, 3 years ago, 6 months ago? Are we willing to maybe give up the right for the good, in situations like that? But I just thought it was very interesting where he talks about that God always concentrates on the greater need, and we are not saved to serve, but we are matured to serve. And I'd never heard it like that. I've heard saved to serve all the time. But of course it's implied that you're mature, but But I don't, I've never heard anybody really break down and give that distinction that before you're out there trying to pull people in, make sure that you've allowed yourself to have gone through the process or are allowing yourself to go through the process. So, like you just mentioned, so definitely that we don't get ahead of what Christ is doing. The part where it talks about how we can injure believers by forcing aggressive advancement in things of God on them. That was another thing that just kind of jumped out at me, because I do find it to be frustrating. I think that sometimes when we are in a situation where we're dealing with the same people group on a long-term basis, so we may know the history. We may know some of the situations that God has brought them through. And sometimes us as believers, and I don't want to make myself sound like I got it all together, but sometimes people don't even realize what God has done for them. You know, you go back and you say, it reminds me of David, you know, when he was going into battle and he said, you know, I slew the lion and the bear, you know, those kinds of things. What God has done, sometimes we so easily forget what God has done. You know, what he's done with our families, what he's done in our situations, in our work situations, when things seem as though we can't imagine how we can go another day, and we look back and it's like, oh my gosh, that was 2014, you know, or something like that. And not, because it's like not being able to see the forest for the trees. And so the whole idea that we can't cultivate others any further than we allow the Father to cultivate us, and it is persistent. And it is painful, but it is necessary. And the whole idea that don't get it twisted. I'm not. I know I'm jumping back around, but when it talks about it is not our Christian work or our energies or our enthusiasms or our ambitions or our abilities or our academic qualifications or anything that we in and of ourselves, but it is the spiritual maturity and spiritual basis that the Father. As I say, grades us on, but you know, but it's desires of us so that we can come in and help lift somebody else spiritually. But until we allow that process in us, then we are not as effective and not as useful for the kingdom as we can be. And so, reading this and the whole idea of cultivation, like you said, it gets back to that whole fruit of the Spirit. That it's like, okay, the work is really not outside of me. The work is my work. The work is me, you know, so that I can be fit to be for the service and be fit to be used in a greater degree. So, I thought it was very pragmatic. I thought it was very interesting that he didn't get real deep theologically and have it laden with a whole bunch of scriptures about this, but it's just matter of fact. You know, this is how God works. Mm-hmm. This is what he expects of us, and this is what we're supposed to be doing, and if we're not doing it this way, then it's not God's way. So it's kind of like go back and check yourself, you know, to go back and check me in that whole regard.
And you know what? Some of us, if you give us a little bit too much, some of us get the big head and we get upset and unruly, like. And I don't think he has to take his time with a lot of us. Some of the older people used to call it wipe the floor up with us a lot of times because we can't take a lot too much too soon because we'll get ourselves and I'll do ourselves and everybody else around us. We can't take a lot of same time. We have to go real slow. Keep us on the, on the maggots. Just keep us on the maggots back. Don't let us get too far, because we get upset very easily.
And I think one of the things, you know, like you're sharing, is once we've done what God has had us to do, we often look for a certain response or a certain result, and when we don't see it, I think that's when we I would say turn back into ways of the flesh and not the way of the kingdom. But one of the things that we have to remember, which I thought it was interesting, that he put this in this particular lesson, is that then we become intercessors for them. We become intercessory praying for those people and for every truth that we plant in a person's life. Every word we speak, even while we're being perfected, while we're being matured, you know, when we do share a truth, we should pray that the power of that will have its way in the person's life. So oftentimes our job is not necessarily a physical one-on-one or with the person physically, but one that's spiritually behind the scenes, if you will, unknown to anybody but the Lord. And we don't often find that part of our ministering the one that we put the most emphasis on. Now, there are intercessory prayers, people that have that gift. I'm not speaking of them. I'm speaking of the teachers, the preachers, the prophets, the evangelists. As we go forth, we pray, you know, that the word will, that the power of the word will for that person indefinitely. That needs to be a part of what we're doing. And when Elder was sharing what the author said at the beginning about the balance, when I first read that, I was brought back to the 23rd Psalm, when it taught how if the sheep are allowed to do what they want to do in the field that the shepherd has led them to, that they will get the land, they'll devastate the land. There's an imbalance between them and what they excrete and what they eat, and it's the shepherd's job to move them and shift them around so that it balances out for the land. And so it was like such a visual for me when he was saying how in every area there does have to be balance. And when it isn't, then we need to automatically stop. Someone has said recently, and when you say how are you doing, they now in their spirit and sometimes out loud say mentally, physically, professionally, emotionally. So how are you doing? Because all of those things are vital. And so sometimes it's what we need to be reminded of, like, oh, because you can say, oh, I'm fine. But, well, how are you financially? How are you this? You know, and I'm not saying we're to, you know, accost people and ask them this personal thing. But it's led to remember that it's their holistic that you want to, you're addressing when you say, you know, how are you doing or how are you, when we inquire with one another. And so not that we to get information, but rather to get inspiration as to the things we are to pray for, to seek God on the behalf of. Anybody else? We can't hear you really good, Minister. Ooh, now we can't hear you at all. Hello? Hello? Okay. Anybody else?
I think Elder had said the one I had, and that was in the beginning when it was talking about serving, and if you... the maturity in which you are. And so I really, I think.
Uh-oh. Your phone is going in and out.
So thank you all.
Oh, okay. Amen. Amen. Anybody else?
Minister Paulette, yes, on page 71, where it says, many seem to droop because there are no grapes and are not happy unless they are doing. Doing is right enough in itself, but the order ought to be from happiness to work and not work to be happy. It is from the inner circle, the hive, the heart where Christ reigns, the only green spot, the fund closure, the sanctuary that one should come forth to work. The quality of one's work depends on the nature of one's rest, and the rest should be like his own, known and enjoyed with him. We have but small ideas of how our outward bears the color of our inward. And if our inward is not restful, there cannot be a rest imparting service, however it may be attempted many times. And I've seen with many times when people are attempting to do things or even minister to someone else because they're not at rest in themselves. It doesn't come across too well to the other individual. So this passage stood out as well about the inward rest in yourself, because you know, sometimes people, you may not see it yourself, but, you know, people, other people see it as well as feel it.
Amen. And, you know, we have really come to just about the end of this series. And yet there's so much, you know, we could say about it, that we're gleaning about it, and that I realize that one builds upon the other. And as it builds, we go higher and higher. And there is a diagram in one of the Thompson Chain Bible of the true temple of God, the truth. And it starts with steps. And these steps lead up to a foundation. And on the foundation, there are pillars. And each one of the pillars, they take out of the book of Matthew 5-7, that indicate the 33 principles and precepts that Christ said we must have, and the condition of our heart, because everything rests in the roof of the temple, rests on the condition of our heart. And so when you just look at it and you realize there are so many things that have to be built and balanced to hold this roof up. But the steps, there are about 9 steps, and those steps start with humility, and they end with sacrificial suffering. And it was interesting to me. I had made the copy, and I had it sitting on the table. And the young one saw it and said, "What is this?" And so I was, you know, going to tell him, but he was reading it. And he went straight to suffering. He said, "That says suffering, right?" I said, "Yes, it does." But suffering was on the top step. We have to, and I thought, oh, goodness, I'm going to, you know, share that. You know, he was all suffering. Just like Elder Deborah, you know, and the author put, you know, pain and suffering, you know, and he went straight to it. And we tend to do that. We tend to, in our, straight to suffering, I'm going to have to, you know, it's negative. You know, you got to give up the right for wrong. You got to turn the other cheek. You know, this suffering, this persecution. But the fact that it was at the top of the step indicated to me, and I didn't realize it, to the little one that pointed it out, it's the place of highest honor. It is where we get to when we have gone the other 8 steps, which started with humility and penance, and I have to share it with you, all of the different steps, holy living, being pure, and different things, and the steps go up and up. But the top level, which you would think, oh, I get up there, I've made it. Yes, now you can sacrificially suffer for Christ. Awesome. And so it is a new way of thinking because it is a joy. And it is what gives us the peace and the rest that we need, that we're able to, because everything that would be in us has been calmed, it has been answered, it has been settled, it has been fixed, and now what is left is the Christ in me. And as we get to the Christ in me, you can't think of Christ without thinking about the sacrifice of suffering that he did for us and the power that that suffering brought get us to a place where the pillars of our life that hold the roof that will cause people to see Jesus Christ. And the, God said he reveals himself to us through the face of his Son, Christ Jesus. And that's what that looks like. And so I do encourage you, if you have a Thompson chain, kind of look at that. Otherwise, I'll try to get it where we can actually digitally fix it and send it out, because I think it's a good reminder of all of these last three or four books that we had and the studying of them and where it's leading and why. And so that as we close out with the last step 18 of continuance, we will see
Overseer, before you go any further, I just missed the last thing you said. What did you say, make a copy and send out? What were you still referring to the Thompson chain too, or were you referring to something else? I couldn't quite hear you.
Yeah, I was referring
to which one? Okay. You would say make a copy and send that out? Is that what you said?
Yes. I'm going to try to get a copy where I can send it, so that that can be something to tie everything that we've done. It kind of puts it all in this one picture. So I can even ask those that are artsy, you can draw one for us on the computer. That's a challenge, but at any rate. So just so that we can have, you know, we don't want to read a book and put it down, throw it on the shelf and done. But, you know, we really want to see it come alive. And I think that this is one of the things that would help trigger some of the information, not information, because it's more than that, some of the truth that God is establishing in us and why and where it needs to be located, not located in our lives, but utilized as we go through ministry. I should say it that way. Amen. Any questions, comments?
I just wanted to read something.
It's sure.
In the book, it says, what stuck out to me, the Lord shall guide thee continually and satisfy thy soul in droughts and make fat thy bones, and thou shalt be like a water garden and like a spring of water whose waters fall not. And that really stuck out to me because it was telling me, I will always guide you if we allow the Spirit of God to work in us. He's going to guide us, not be guided by ourselves and our emotions and our ways. And then it says to me, it said, I will satisfy your needs in a land that is baked by the sun. I will make you stronger. You will be like a garden that has plenty of water. You will be like a spring whose water never runs out. And I was reading that, and when it says continually, he will repeatedly make us stronger and stronger as long as you walk in the Spirit and in his word and what he has given us, his word. He has planted
He gave us the seed, which is the word of God. He gave us the fertilizer, mm-hmm. which is the Holy Spirit. And it's for us to grow in that by studying, meditation, and praising him. That's what I got out of that.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Absolutely. Absolutely. The imagery is awesome. And no matter what you are accustomed to, it can bring into your mind this picture that is full of peace, it is full of prosperity, it is full of growth and development and hope. And so it is all of what I believe the garden was about, the Garden of Eden. Just a beautiful place of hope and peace, perfection and prosperity and worship and praise. And that's what he wants. His will be done on earth. His kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven. Amen and amen.
Amen.
So I
amen.
Thank you all for sharing. If there be nothing else, enjoy the ministry of the Holy Spirit. And we will
amen.
Be back, and it will be March. We will be entering the month of March. Wow. Amen.
Amen.
Enjoy your day.
Amen.